Good evening. And welcome to Family Strong 2020-ish. Family Strong 2020, give or take, it's more of an estimate than an actual date. I wanted to start out this evening getting organized spatially. I wanted to start out this evening, first of all, giving you guys a little bit of an insight into what we as the planning committee hope to accomplish, kind of what our heart is for the coming weekend. So first of all, guys, we really, truly, and genuinely want you to be able to relax, to have time away from pressures and stresses. This means reducing your screen time. I would personally encourage you to ignore the news and enjoy this beautiful space that we've been blessed with for this weekend. Dig into the Word. Take really, really good notes this weekend. Find out where I have been wrong and tell me about it, please. Review passages later on. Spend time in prayer, and that is the only exception to the screen time rule. If you're like me and you run your Bible off of an app, that's the only screen time you get this weekend. And third, we're genuinely passionate about fostering connections and helping people get in touch with the body of Christ, with the church that we have been blessed with. So reconnect with those you haven't seen in a while. I know for me personally, I'll be in a Bible study for years and then move on to a different one, or we have a split and try to make two Bible studies from a large Bible study, and I lose contact with people that I truly love. Use this weekend as an opportunity to reconnect with some people that you may not have seen in a while. Share your passions for ministry with the people around you. One of the original things that we wanted to accomplish with this conference when we started was getting young people and people have been in ministry for a long time together in the same space so that they can talk about what they're excited about, and that can really catch on with the larger body. Do all three of these things at the same time. Don't compartmentalize. Go wild. Have fun with it. I wanted to take a second to kind of introduce the planning committee. We'll refer to them a couple times. It consists of myself and Lacey, Nate and Ashley Harworth. We have Travis and Janice Sides and Scott and Vicky Paxton. If you have questions about schedule or anything like that, please approach us. We would love to solve whatever problem might come up. You've already met Kristen Pierce or KP over when we had dinner. Anything that's sort of facility related, you can talk to her about that. We've already gone through some things about childcare. Single digits, 9 and down can be in the room behind us. And I just wanted to personally thank the staff here at Maranatha. This is, again, our second go around with Family Strong 2020, and they have been extremely accommodating and very patient with us. So thank you guys. The theme for this entire week is going to be sufficient grace. And we're going to be looking through 2 Corinthians, and that's going to be where we're going to spend the bulk of our time. You'll see a recurring theme. It's on your tables. It's on the t-shirts. It's comfort, clay, compel, complete. And these are the 4 kind of buzzwords that we're going to be using as the launching point for our lessons. And it's amazing. We actually settled on sufficient grace, looking at suffering and things like that, all the way back in 2019. When we all thought Corona was just a beer, that's when we decided on sufficient grace. Now we know it's a little bit more than that. And God has worked amazing things. I look forward to all of the lessons. I'll go ahead and open us with prayer again. We'll open up our passage for this evening, and then we'll get rocking and rolling. Lord, I thank you so much for this evening, this opportunity, God, for this conference and every single person in this room, God. Quiet our hearts this evening. Help us to be able to hear your spirit moving in your name. Amen. So my assignment, what I'm going to be looking at this evening is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Again, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 11. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that as you share in the sufferings, so you will also share in the comfort. We don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of our affliction that took place in Asia. We were completely overwhelmed beyond our strength, so that we even despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, so that we would not trust ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a terrible death, and he will deliver us. We have put our hope in him that he will deliver us again, while you join in helping us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gift that came to us through the prayers of many." So, looking first of all in verse 3, Paul, our author here, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies." Now, this kind of brings the question of what is comfort? What are we talking about in this opening verse? Now, this right here is a picture of what I believe to be the pinnacle of comfort. What for you, what does it look like? What does it look like practically? Is it the pinnacle of comfort? How would you describe it? Is it a lack of mental engagement? Is it physical rest? Is it an emotional state without worries? For me, it's this right here. This is a Galleon 680. It's about a 70-foot luxury yacht. Twin engine, has enough range to take you about anywhere in the world you want to go. If that's not comfort, I don't know what is. And you may ask yourself, why does a man who's never had a permanent address nearer than 1,000 miles to a coastline care about luxury yachts? Well, leading up to this, I went on a YouTube rabbit hole, and you may have had this happen before. You start out wanting to know something completely reasonable, like searching, how do I find the right bolt to accomplish a job I want to do? 3 hours and 27 suggested videos later, you're watching a guy underwater metal detect for Civil War trinkets. Not that that's happened to me, but that might have happened. And this is how I learned about this specific ship. It's glorious, it's wonderful, and for my money, at $1.5 million, it's the best value per dollar in the luxury yacht market. I think, is this the type of comfort we're talking about here? When we talk about the God of all comfort, if this is what he provides, I think we can all get on board with that. So, what is comfort? Biblical comfort, that is. It is not what I just alluded to. Paul is not talking about some luxurious experience. The words "all comfort" in this passage come from the ancient Greek word paraklesis. Now, this is used a number of times, and in the Old Testament, it always means more than just soothing sympathy. It has the idea of strengthening, of helping, to make strong, and its meaning is communicated in the Latin word fortis, which also means brave. When you see the God of comfort, think the God of fortification, the God of reinforcement, the God of concrete with rebar inside of it, the God of carbotanium, which is a real thing, I promise. If you want to be effective for the kingdom of God, this is what you are interested in. You're not interested in comfortable pillows. You're interested in a comfort that allows you to act. And of course, that then brings up the question again back in verse 4. He comforts us in all of our afflictions. I am struggling right now. So, how are we comforted? When it says he comforts us in all of our afflictions, I think many of us have had kind of a rough 12 months. 2020, I don't think, was really anybody's favorite. We've been to more funerals than we would like to acknowledge, or had to miss services we wanted to go to. It's definitely been a rough year, and there may be somebody out there who's thinking, God hasn't comforted me in my afflictions. This is cute what you're saying, Darren, but I don't even want to listen to you right now, because that's not my reality. And my challenge to that is, let's take a look at Paul. Let's take a look at the man who's saying God is the one who's the source of comfort. If we can all turn for just a moment to 2 Corinthians 11, we'll be looking at verses 23 through 28. Here we see Paul, who's been he's been challenged in Corinth. His authority has been brought into question, and there are people saying that there are others more committed to the gospel than Paul. He's sort of been argued into a corner, and he's having to defend his own ministry. So this is Paul laying out what his life experience has been. He says, Are they, speaking of those who are challenging them, are they servants of Christ? I'm talking like a madman. I'm a better one, with far more labors and many more imprisonments, far worse beatings, many times near death. 5 times I received the 40 lashes minus one from the Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I have spent a night and a day in open sea. On frequent journeys, I faced dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers among false brothers, toil and hardship, many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, cold and without clothing, not to mention the other things. There is daily pressure on me, my concern for all of the churches. This is the experience of the man who says God is comforting. What could he possibly be talking about? Simply put, what he is talking about is the gospel. After he lists his sufferings there in chapter 11, Paul calls out to God concerning what he refers to as a thorn in his side. And in chapter 12, verse 9, God responds to Paul calling out. And his response is not, okay, I'll take that away from you. His response is not a pillow. The comfort that God offers is, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. In Romans 3:23, a verse that anyone who's been through Awana is well familiar with, we get a brief glimpse into this grace. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." 24, "They are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ." Justification by faith through the redemption of Christ. The result of this faith, the result of faith in this grace, is right relationship with God. We don't have to strive and prove day after day that we are devoted. We don't have to count sins and offer sacrifices. This was all taken care of on the cross. How amazingly comforting is that? So what comfort do we get from grace? We get a right relationship with God. Second thing that we get The second way that grace is sufficient. The gospel is not just for our salvation. It's a template for how we treat those around us. Knowing my sinful heart and the grace that has forgiven me, how can I hold on to the wrongs that others have committed? How comforting and emboldening is freedom from revenge? Knowing that I've been purchased at a price, how can I hold back from what God has called me to do? These are the concepts of paraclesis, but the gospel isn't done yet there. A third way that we are comforted through God's grace is that Christ shares in our suffering. God is not simply an intellectual who gives ethereal relief. He has been there and he has suffered. We see this again in Hebrews 2, verse 18. Speaking of Christ, the author of Hebrews says, "For since he himself has suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted." God knows, God cares, and God is able to help. And that, of course, brings us to ask, why are we comforted? We see the answer quite clearly in verses 4 through 6. "He comforts us in all of our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience, endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer." So, why are we comforted? That we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of trouble. I would love to paraphrase. I would love to come up with a different way of saying it. But this is like the most clear passage in all of Scripture. We have A plus B equals C. Why do we experience suffering? So that we may help those who are suffering. One great purpose of God in comforting us is to enable us to bring comfort to others. God's comfort can be given and received through others. And this is not simply psychological reframing or some kind of survival trick, but a very real purpose in suffering. In Genesis 12, we see that Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. Here we see that we suffer to help those who suffer. One of my favorite songs from a number of years ago is called Blessings by Laura Story. And in that song, she talks about how we are refined, we are sanctified through difficult trials. And in the Western Hemisphere, in American Christianity, we don't like to think about that. We don't like to acknowledge that. But here we have clear scripture teaching that if you suffer, a primary function of that is so that you are capable and able and prepared to comfort others. A commenter, Clark, said it this way: "Even spiritual comforts are not given us for our own use alone. They, like all the gifts of God, are given that they may be distributed and become instruments of help to others. A minister's trials and comforts are permitted and sent for the benefit of the church. What a miserable preacher must he be who has all his divinity by studying and learning and nothing by experience. We are able to help each other because of what we have been through." And Paul does an amazing job. We go immediately from a teaching example to a very practical example. He goes from the academic to the application in his own writings. He focuses on what our comfort allows us to do. It's four things. Yet our response. First, praise. Spurgeon said of Paul, he was a man who never knew whether he might be dead the next day, for his enemies were many and cruel and mighty, and yet he spent a great part of his time in praise and counting blessings. It's exactly how he opened this section that we're looking at today. Yes, in verses 1 and 2, he addresses his letter. He greets his readers, but his first words are blessed. That's the opening of this section. He begins with praise. Just like we did this evening, he begins with praise. Second, pray. Verse 11 shows us that Paul was helped by believers' prayers. Not only did it help Paul, but it helped many. Third thing, persevere. Verse 6, comfort, which produces in you patience, endurance. He has delivered us, he will deliver us again. And if you think that this may be just an isolated example of what the Corinthian church experienced, again, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10, 32 through 35. Remember, the earlier days, after you had been enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with many sufferings. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to taunts and afflictions, and other times you were companions of those who were treated in such a way. For you sympathized with the prisoners and accepted with joy the confiscation of your possessions, because you know that yourselves have a better and enduring possession. He's talking about this faith. He's talking about salvation through grace. Don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Praise, pray, persevere, and serve. We see a beautiful example of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 through 7. Again, this is Paul here speaking, and he says, in fact, when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest. Instead, we were troubled in every way. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. If that's not the most apt and insightful description of 2020, I don't know what is. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comfort us by the arrival of Titus. And not only by his arrival, but also by the comfort he received from you. He told us about your deep longing, your sorrow, and your zeal for me, so that I rejoice even more. Paul was reinforced personally by the arrival of his friend. Titus allowed the comfort he had received from the Corinthian church to overflow into Paul, just as Paul got done explaining what would happen. You might not be able to travel and support missionaries. But I would argue that every ministry is aimed at relieving suffering in some kind of way. Consider evangelism. I don't want to suffer in hell. I don't want others to suffer in hell. So I share the gospel. Teaching, another prominent ministry within the church. I personally, Darren Jost, suffer from ignorance. If you have a hard time believing that, come to a Bible study I haven't expressly prepared for, and you'd be amazed at the ignorance that I possess. So after much time in study, I try to share what I've learned so that you might not suffer in the same way. Praise. I am not a particularly poetic person. I suffer from a lack of insight and struggle to express my gratitude to God. Lucky for me, there is a praise team that can take the words that I don't even know I feel and help me express them to God. If you feel that your ministry, whatever it is, whether it's childcare, whether it's Awana, whether it's Bible study, or whatever it is, if you feel like it's undervalued or you can't see the purpose, consider the suffering you're trying to comfort. So, I opened with a whole lot of humor. I opened with a humorous picture of earthly comfort, and I'd like to end it with a call to real, genuine comfort. We all know that life isn't always like this picture. It's not a peaceful life. Paul's life sure wasn't. We saw that tonight. But he was able to declare that he served the God of comfort because he knew God. This picture is a spot at Maranatha, here at this camp. It's the amphitheater on the other side of the water slide. And I would encourage, I would almost challenge you to take some time tomorrow or Sunday morning to spend time in study and prayer or praise. Practice relying on God to steel you for the times that are yet to come. As always, a lesson like this is just a brief. It's designed to whet your appetite for a passage. There's entire commentaries written on the book of 2 Corinthians, and more talented men have written pages and pages about just Paul's greeting in these opening sentences of 2 Corinthians. Find a commentary that you enjoy. Dig into the word. It's one of the primary things I wanted to encourage you guys to do this weekend. There's never enough time to look through a passage completely, so consider digging into it. Maybe while we're sitting in some sunshine, hopefully not wind and rain, but I would encourage you to try to find this exact spot and experience some peace and some comfort there. Sunday, after you've packed the kids into the car and you've got another 2 hours before you get back to Sterling, ask them what comfort is. Ask them how God provides it. Maybe find some stories from your kids' life. You'd be amazed and surprised at simple truths that we can learn from children about comfort. Lacey and I recently read a book called Think It Not Strange by John Piper about being prepared for what may come in the future. And I don't want to get doom and gloomish, but in America, we have enjoyed a very brief period of prominence. And if you look at world history, Christianity is rarely smiled upon. Start working out and be prepared for when you need comfort in the future. Talk to somebody this weekend about their ministry. Pray about how you can be involved in comforting others. So, again, we would really, really love for you guys to stay and hang out this evening. This specific space is open until about 10:30 in the night. We have snacks in that room back there. We have coffee in the foyer. Every single year, without fail at Family Strong, every time we do this, I take a picture of just the unity that exists wherever we are, whether it's the YMCA, whether it's here. I can't encourage you guys enough to make the most of this weekend. Please relax, please connect, and please dig in. I'll close in prayer, and then I think we'll get on to the rest of our evening. Lord, again, I thank you for this conference and for this scripture. I thank you for what you've put on my heart to share. And I pray that this weekend in particular, we can be edified through your word, and that we can glorify you in your name. Amen.